Morning. Today's daf in Erevin is daf nun tes. We're nun ches. We're nun ches amud aleph, and we are 2/3 down on nun ches amud aleph. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion. We started discussion yesterday in the 5th parak of Erevin. We're talking about Eruvei Tchom, and we're talking about the actual process itself of how do we measure. We have to survey the land in order to know exactly where Tchom ends. The city, going outside the city, as we've now been discussing now for the past couple of several weeks. So you have an ability, an opportunity to walk, but only 2,000 amas outside the city. So therefore, we're going to have people measuring. And so the Mishnah speaks in very great detail, starting on the bottom of Nezayin Amud Beis, exactly how we measure. Now the measuring process becomes a little bit complicated because what we want to do is we want to measure 2,000 amas, but basically we want to try to measure it as the crow flies, meaning we would like it that the slopes and inclines and descents don't become play factor into the measuring. So it's a little bit difficult to do, especially when you're measuring with ropes, and the Mishnah went on to describe exactly how it's done, so it becomes a little bit of a process, and it becomes a little bit complicated in terms of how exactly to measure. So how do you measure? So the Mishnah says that we're going to take a rope, 50 amas long, not any longer, not any shorter, but 50 amas, and the Gemara yesterday quoted a smacht in terms of how we know that exactly the rope has to be 50 amas. But there's 50 amma rope, and everyone's going to be, and you're going to have two people at the two ends of the rope, and they're going to be holding the rope, and that's a 50 amma measurement, and you're going to do that 40 times over, and that's how you're going to yield the tchum Shabbos of 2,000 ammas. Good, but that's only if it's as the land lays flat. What if there's an incline? So as we'll learn over the course of today, if the incline is particularly steep. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to negate the incline and just basically go along a flat plane. So how exactly is that done? So that's what we've been discussing now, yesterday's daf and the continuation of today's daf. So the first thing that we mentioned yesterday is that if you get to a valley or to a fence, so you can just swallow it up. That's what we talked about yesterday, swallowing up the valley. Swallow up the valley, what exactly does that mean? So assuming the valley is, let's say, less than 50 amas wide, so I can have one person standing on one side of the valley, another person standing on the other side of the valley, and just simply stretch the string right across the valley. Perfect. That way, now we've gone across the valley, and we didn't. Nothing was taken away for the incline of the valley. That's one methodology of negating the incline. The Mishnah says, if you look at the very bottom of the previous amud, higia lahar mavlio v'chozol emidaso. So you swallow it up, and then you're chozol emidaso. What does that mean, chozol emidaso? That's where we start our discussion today. We're on in Chesam and Aleph, and we're 2/3 down, and we're at the two dots. Hayamodid vihigia. Well, one of the points that we made yesterday in the daf was that it has to be rope. In other words, chain, right? Bronze chain sounds like a great idea, says the Gemara yesterday, but the minag is, the niog is, to use a rope. It has to be specifically a rope. In the meantime, however, what does the Mishnah mean when it says chozol emidaso? Mi detani chozol emidaso mechlal dimeni yochol avliyo holech lamakov shiachol avliyo umavliyo v'tzofa kenegi midaso v'chozer. So the Gemara makes the following deal. Chozol emidaso means that sometimes we can't be mavliyo. And if you can't be mavliyo, so then what? So let's say the ravine is really wide. In other words, let's say it's 70 amas, let's say it's 100 amas, whatever. It's really wide. I can't just simply have one person standing on one side, another person standing on the other side. So here's what you're going to do. Basically now what you're going to do is you're going to make a left-hand turn. Okay, in other words, you get to whatever you can get to. Right, you get to the ravine. Let's say we're headed northbound, so we have a visual. And you're measuring rope, 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 and you get to a ravine, and the ravine's really wide. 100 amas wide. And so now what you're going to do is as follows. You make a left turn. Right? And by left turn, I mean 90-degree turn. Then you're going to go out to where the ravine either narrows or it ends. Then you'll make a right-hand turn, 90 degrees. You'll measure out that way. You'll now make another right-hand turn. You'll go back now to the point of the other side of the ravine, and then you'll make a left-hand turn. So in other words, a left, two rights, and then another left. Obviously, all this has to be, as best as you can, a perfect 90-degree turn. And if you do that, so that's what the Mishnah means when it says, chozer lemidaso. That's what it means, you're going to resume. Because there are going to be times when I just simply can't go right over the ravine. So I'll make a right, and then another left, and that's pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, not only is that pshat in the Mishnah, we have a braisa supporting the exact same point. So you're measuring and you get to a valley. Now, if you could just simply absorb it like we described, having one person standing on one end, another on the other end, so that's great. The imlav, holach lamakum shechu lavlio. But if you can't do that, so then you walk and you get to the place where you're mavli. Oh, mavlio, but so for the chosel and me does so. Okay, and like we just got done describing, a left-hand turn, two rights, another left. Hayagai me'ukam. Now, let's say the valley itself is a bent valley. Meaning the valley itself turns and winds and I can't do it. Meaning what we wanted to suggest earlier, just simply making a left and making two right-hand turns and resuming, I just simply can't do it. The valley's too wide and the valley's too crooked. So makdir v'ola, makdir v'yored. So now we described yesterday's daf, and that is the idea of being makdir, boring a hole through the valley. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. Higiel a kosel in omrim yikov a kosel. Now, let's say you get to a wall. You get to a wall, what do you want to do? I want to bore a hole through the wall in order to measure. And we do not mean that we're going to physically, literally bore our way through the whole wall, but in other words, like we talked about yesterday, give some sort of approximation, estimation in terms of what the distance is by like running up the wall, running back down the wall. Okay, using methodology, which we described yesterday, which we're going to also go over again today. When you get to the wall, you know what you do? Give it a good approximation. Estimate, say, you know what, that wall covers, let's say, 20 amas. All right, yeah, it sounds about right. And then go to the other side of the wall and continue measuring from the other side of the wall. Okay, so in this braisa, the reason why we really brought the braisa down is to discuss the point of making your left-hand turn, making two rights, getting back to the point on the other side of the ravine, and then continuing onward. That's really the reason why we brought down the braisa. But as long as we're here and as long as we quote the braisa, there are a couple of interesting things in the braisa, notably what we just mentioned, which is that when you get to a wall, give it a good estimation. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, what do you mean? Shouldn't we actually measure? Meaning, isn't the whole idea is that if you have a ravine or a mountain, so I stand on one side with the measuring, with the rope, and someone stands on the other side, and if it's a wall, so we're going to have to hold our arms up, but didn't we say measure? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, look, the wall itself, no one's walking on the wall. The wall's not an incline. This wall is totally, it's a vertical wall. And so therefore, to have, in other words, in conceptually, when we spoke earlier, of somebody standing on one side, someone standing on the other side, mavlio, swallowing, but that's at least in a case where it's at least possible to walk down, to walk back up again. Here, when we're talking about a wall, the wall literally is impassable. No one uses it. So there, for a wall, so there you give it a good estimation.
When you say you make a left and a right and a left, right? Does that count as part of the two?
In other words, when you're going left, that doesn't count.
You just want to count it straight.
Correct. When you make your right turn, that's going to count. Then when you make your next right, that doesn't count.
You're going to figure it out. What does that help measuring?
Because basically you get to swallow the ravine. If I didn't swallow the ravine, I'm going to have to walk down the wall of the ravine.
I don't understand that, but how are you going to figure out the width of the ravine that way?
When you go west, then you go north across the ravine.
Right.
This is how travel
north. Yeah, if it's the same width as the one over there. If it's the same.
He went out here.
Right. I understand.
If let's say this is a ravine,
if it's the same,
you're going to make a left-hand turn,
right.
You're going to go out here, you come back here, and you're going to go out here.
Right, but you're saying the ravine is exactly the same measurement.
Yeah, in other words, I understand it's going to be hard to do, but yeah, correct. But that's basically...
It could be wider, it could be...
Correct.
But, correct. Know, if they're trying to be exact with all the measurements of the 2,000, why all of a sudden here...
Yeah, so the answer is, I mean, it's a good question, but the answer is they're not trying to be exact. Meaning, I mean, the Gemara's going to say it. Meaning, if there are opportunities to be makel, we're going to be makel. So, we want a measurement, but also at the same time...
Why don't you just measure this part? What do you have to measure this part?
What do you mean?
the positive. You want to measure the width of the
thing. What I want to do is I want to get 2,000 amos, but as the crow flies.
Right. So why do you have to measure this part? There's no point.
I'm not measuring. I don't care about this part.
Oh, you're not measuring.
No. I just want to get it. Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's it. In other words, right. If
okay.
The only parts I'm interested in is
measuring that
one, two,
right.
Three.
Okay.
Those are the only parts that are going
to
get action. No. I assume not.
I understand that.
Bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel Lo Shanu Ela She'ein Chut HaMishkalot Yared Kenegdo. Now, let's say it's a drop, meaning you get to the point of the ravine, and it's not just simply, it's really steep, and let's be careful, but let's say it's just a drop. So if it's a drop where I could send down my Chut HaMishkalot, basically a plumb line, so Yared Kenegdo. So what do? Drop the plumb line. And so now when you drop the plumb line, so now I can have somebody standing at the bottom of the ravine, and now we'll measure. And we won't have to, in other words, it's a little bit of a walk down, but because the vertical is so steep, it just basically drops, so then you could drop it. Okay. Now what kind of drop are we talking about? We're now on the top of Nun Chesam Beis. So I'm Rav Yosef Apayim. So if it drops 2,000 amas, so the Ezra Abaye Amo Kuf Roch of Nun Mavlio Veim Lav Ein Mavlio. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a brisa that says where it only drops 100. So Hudam Kachem. The Gemara says, okay, but I have another brisa that supports my position. Titanya Chem Omi Mavlio Amo Kapayim Veroch of Nun Mavlio. Even if it drops 2,000 amas, you're still Mavlio. Now the Gemara, of course, has a statement by Rav Yosef, even if it's greater than 2,000 amos, so you could just simply mavli, you could swallow it up. So the Gemara says, okay, but now you're saying more than 2,000 amos, and that's really that's nowhere. That's nobody's position. So the Gemara says, look, there's a huge difference. Previously, we were talking about where I can't, in other words, it's not super steep. Meaning I can't just simply drop the plumb line. But if I could just drop the plumb line, meaning it's so steep, the drop, where if I stand on the top and I drop the plumb line and it goes down to the ground, so then I could just simply, regardless of how far down it is, I can ignore the entire descent. So the Gemara says, now what exactly do we mean when it says a plumb line drops? So here four amos, which means now that it has to be, I mean, you're talking about really just a drop of a cliff, where I get to the edge of the cliff, it's so steep that all I have to do is just simply extend my arm out four amos, and that for extending your arm out four amos, I realize it's impossible, but basically, from where I'm standing at the edge to the bottom of the ravine, it doesn't go horizontally more than four amas. So basically, the plumb line basically just, you know, goes straight down.
Armed at four amas. It's one ama from here to
here. Right, right. I understand. So I'll use a stick. Okay, right. Correct. Agreed. Okay, but the point is that that's the kind of steepness we're talking about in terms of basically ignoring it altogether. And there, it doesn't matter how far down it goes. It can go down as far as it wants. There it doesn't matter. However, if it's not that steep, so then mavlio. Then we have the idea of swallowing the ravine, but then we're limited. Then only I can only swallow if it's 2,000 amas, or according to another opinion, only 100 amas. Okay. Now, when we say a mountain, what do we say regarding the mountain? Swallow up the mountain. That's only if the mountain is mislaket yud mitoch dalet. Remember, we talked about degrees of steepness. We use it in terms of, basically, we look at the triangular angle that's formed by the mountain, where 10 tfachim high, along four amos. Okay? Four amos is the hypotenuse, or four amos is the leg of the triangle. I don't remember.
It says the hypotenuse.
Okay. So the har milsaket yud mitoch dalet, but if it's 10 tfachim high for what is the hypotenuse of four, But if the hypotenuse is 5, so in other words, the angle is such where it ascends 10 tefachim, and the hypotenuse cuts across at 5 amos, so then you have to measure along the flat of the mountain. That's not considered a mountain that's steep enough where I could just simply swallow up the mountain. There I have to just basically walk and measure along the side of the mountain. Ravuna Breder of Nasa Masna Lakula. Now, he says it a little bit differently, which comes out as results in a, which yields in the leniency. Amarev Lashanu Allah Bahar Mislaket Asar Mitoch Chamesh. If the mountain is 10 by 5, meaning 10 tefachim up, 5 amos on the hypotenuse, there you could swallow up the mountain. But if the mountain is so steep that for every 10 tefachim height it only goes 4 amos on the hypotenuse, then I don't even need to measure the mountain. A simple approximation of the mountain would be sufficient. Obviously that results in a tremendous kula. Now, the only thing is that when you're doing all your surveying and all your measuring, and you need to, you know, take a left-hand turn like we described earlier, or let's say going across the ravine results that you're going to be outside of the 2,000 amos, then you can't do that. Meaning, you could basically wind any which way you want, but you always have to be within tchum whenever you're doing your measuring your measurements. My time of the Gemara gives a very simple reason. Amar Afghan, Xerishami Yamru, Midas Tchum and Balakad. Because once you go outside of the tchum, even though you're just going outside to measure, once you go outside the tchum and someone sees you over there, they're going to remind themselves on Shabbos and say, "Hey, you know, I know we can go there because I saw him out. I saw the guy out there measuring for Shabbos, and I saw he was standing right over there. Oh, we can go over there." And meanwhile, no one's going to realize. He won't realize he was only out there to measure, not because that's what tchum was. So the Gemara says even the measure always has to be within the confines of tchum when they measure. Now, We talked yesterday about the final method of measuring, and that's what's called being koder, which means boring a hole through the mountain. Now, that does not literally mean that we're going to bore a hole through the mountain, but in other words, the mountain is so big, I can't just swallow up the mountain. So what we're going to now try to do is go up the mountain, but ignore the incline. How are we going to do that? So the Gemara over here is going to explain. So what we're going to do is we're going to have two people holding the rope. The person on the higher end of the mountain is going to hold the rope by his feet. The person on the lower end of the mountain is going to hold the rope by his heart. And that's how we're basically going to measure up the mountain while ignoring the incline. Amar Abayin Aktinan in Magdirin Ela Bechevel Sha'arba Amos. Now, the way this is going to work is not we're using a rope that's 50 amos, because if it's 50 amos, I mean, we're not talking about a real big change in angle. If one person holds it at the heart, no one holds it at the feet. If, however, you're talking about a rope that is that's 4 amos, so that's a big deal. So one person holds a rope 4 amos at his heart and the other one at his feet. So really now the rope is at an incline. And if I do this where the person on the top holds it by his feet and the person below him is holding it by his heart, so now we can measure the side of the mountain while basically ignoring the angle of the mountain. Basically, I mentioned the other day, this is not really precise because really it depends on the height of the people and the steepness and the depth of the mountain. So this is not a real science, but again, in the world of Tchumim, we're not looking for absolute precision in measurement. We want a basic idea of what 2,000 amos is going to be. Again, we're going to go through a process, but if it results, if there are leniencies, then that's fine. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba Ravua, in Makdirin, lo be'egla rufa v'lo bari mikla mimnishen shel Torah. Now, by Tchumim, Tchum is a din derabanan. Okay, again, there are Tanaim who say it's Doraisa, but Tchum is a din derabanan. So therefore, we can do this. Everything we discussed up until now, of being koder, of being mavliya, of making left-hand turns, of looking at a wall and saying, the wall is, you know, it's about 10 amos, 20 amos, approximation. All these different methods of measuring, which are not precise, is fine by Tchum, because Tchum is a din derabanan. However, when you get to times in halacha, where you need real measurements, there are dine d'oraisa, the Gemara here gives two examples. Example number one is Egla Rufa. Egel Arufa, you find a dead body proximate to two cities. We want to know which city is closer. There you need exact measurements. Right? That's a din d'oraisa. Also, additional, is by Ir Mikla. Ir Mikla, we're measuring the Ir Mikla. We already spoke on Shabbos about the precise definitions, dimensions of the Ir Mikla. That's a din d'oraisa that requires not these approximate measurements, but absolute measurements. Right. So Rashi gives two examples. The Rashi all the way back on the Mishnah gave two examples. One example is like we described over here, where he had to make a left hand turn. So sometimes when he makes that left hand turn, how far out can he go? So let's say Tchum only ends over here. So that would be one example. In other words, the city.
To make that right turn, he's
right. Let's say the city's over here.
Right.
So now he's going to go out,
right,
and he's going to make a left hand turn. Well, 2,000 amos all goes out only this way.
So
in other words, that would be one example where he has to leave Tchum.
Right.
Rashi gives another example where, let's say, 2,000 amos ends, like, let's say, right over here.
Right.
So now what he wants to do is he wants to go to the other side of the ravine. It's too much.
Right, but he doesn't know where the Tchum ends.
Well, in other words,
he knows. What is he measuring then?
He got to his 39th rope over here, and now he's doing his 40th rope.
Right. So
and he realizes, in order for me to do this, I'm going to have to jump to the other side.
Right.
So Rashi, that Rashi says is the second example that you can't do. Okay, well, we are on the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Ein Modeh Din Ela Min HaMumcha. Now, the simple pshat on the Mishnah is you need a professional measure, a surveyor, an engineer. Now, that's the simple pshat. In fact, not only is that the simple pshat, that's Rashi's pshat. Rashi writes, Baki b'medida. Okay, so he needs a degree. He needs an engineering degree. That is Rashi. We take a look at Tosos. Tosos over here quotes the Rabbi Nochananel. Gives a different pshat. He says, Derech yishara u'muchvenes keneged ha'ir. Really, in other words, it's got to be a straight measurement. That's what the word mumche in this context means, although I would have said like Rashi, meaning without knowing anything else. But and keneged ha'ir. And also it has to be, in other words, from the center of the city. Meaning what you don't want to do is you don't want to start now going to the edge and measuring from the edge, but as much as possible to go from the center. Rabbi Nochananel, where does he get this from? Mumcha over here comes to the word of Machal Katef Yam Kineres. Shalo Yelech Litzidei Ha'ir. Don't go to the sides of the city. Limdod Sham Apayim Lefi. Shabam Yesham Karka Chalaka Venoch Limdod. Vachrechen Yav Yetzofa Vabo Keneged Ha'ir. Vetzofa Keneged Midaso. Ein Lalasos Kain. And the reason why you're tempted to do that, says Rabbi Nochananel, is because the land from the side of the city is a much flatter land, it's much smoother, it'll be much easier, but don't do that. In other words, the first halacha that our Mishnah mentions, according to Rabbi Nochananel, is to go from the center of the year. Okay. Either way, either pshat, that's the first part of the Mishnah, Reba l'makamacher, Mi l'makamacher, let's say you measure twice, okay, I don't know why, a second opinion, but not a second opinion, in other words, a second measurement. And it comes out now, the first time we measure, we got to point A. Second time we measure, we got to point B. Point A is longer. So what do you do? Shomel mamakum shariba. Good. Go long. So riba le'echad umiyet le'echad. Let's say you had two opinions. Okay? Take the longer opinion. Shomel lemeruba. V'afilu evra v'afilu shivcha ne'manim lamar adkantuchem Shabbos. Now, you can have an evra shivcha who say to you, you know, I remember back when, and she starts telling you about previous generations, you know, Tchum went over here. Tchum went up to that point. The Mishnah says they're Neman. They are believed, they have credibility. Adkan Tchum Shabbos. Now, it's very interesting, they have credibility. In Halacha, generally speaking, they don't have credibility. So why in this case do they have credibility? That's not my question. Tosfos addresses this issue. You can find Tosfos on the next Amud, where it's interesting and a little bit challenging why exactly in this circumstance does the Eved and the Shivcha have credibility on a Halacha, on telling us what the Halacha would be. But, without getting into Tosfos, take a look on Tosfos, on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. right? It's the second Tosfos on the Amud. But I'm not going to go through it right now. But the basic point is that the Mishnah summarizes. Any opportunity we can be makel regarding the tchum, we're going to be makel. So that means that, A, if there are two opinions, listen to the more lenient opinion. B, if an evna shivcha are telling you that's where tchum goes, okay, listen to them as well. Any opportunity we can be makel, we're going to be makel. We're on the top of Netesim and Aleph. Lamakam shariba in lamakam shamir lo. Ema af lamakam shariba. So in other words, you can even go to the place where it goes longer. Riba lechra mi lachra hasulamali. Now, what's the purpose of the Mishnah giving us this example? Hayno hachachikam riba echad umi echad shomu mazesh riba. In other words, the Gemara just simply clarifies the Mishnah. There are two opinions. I'm Rabbi Vavashalo Yerba Yoser Mimida Seyerba Lachsarna. A little discrepancy between the two opinions, that's fine. But what if it's a major discrepancy? What do we mean by major discrepancy? Well, let's say one person came out to X, and the other one comes out to X minus, let's say, 585. Okay, how did I come up with that number? What was that number? The number basically is the following. Once again, let's go back to the board today. Look, I have a city, and I have two people measuring the city. So one comes out over here, one comes out over here. So a small discrepancy is fine. But let's say the discrepancy is so great that one comes out to...
You mean two and two, right?
2,000 amas. And the other one comes out to 14...
15.
What is it? It's...
14.15.
Okay? That's too great a discrepancy. That's a discrepancy of now 585. Okay, that's too great. Now, why is that too great a discrepancy? Because now, with the difference being that much, I get it. Meaning, I know what happened over here. The one who was measuring 2,000, so what was his measurement towards? He must have gone along the diagonal. Meaning over here, this guy will measure 2,000. Once again, let's draw a triangle. So obviously what he figured to be 2,000 was really the hypotenuse of 1415 by 1415. So in other words, once you have a discrepancy that great, it's no longer a difference of, you know... Right, he measured over the mountain, he measured through the mountain, but now you get it, you understand why it is such a great discrepancy, and under those circumstances, now I can look at the two and say, oh, you guys weren't measuring the same thing. One was measuring the due north, and the other one must have been going along the hypotenuse. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa says, "What do you mean, Mekel? What does that mean? Tchum Shabbos. That's the Chumrah. So Amar Avina lo lahakel divrei Torah lo lahachmir al divrei Torah utchumim derabanan. So the Gemara says, "Look, it's all everyone's right here in this regard. First of all, let's talk about the institution of Tchum. That's obviously a Chumrah, meaning min haTorah." How far can I walk on Shabbos? Min haTorah? As much as you want. Although to be honest, though, and I haven't brought this up yet, there is a machlokas amongst the Rishonim, even if you hold that Chum is the Rabbanim, which is how we hold, right? So there are some opinions that say that you can't walk on Shabbos past 12 mil. Okay, that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, but not for now. But the basic idea is that the restriction of walking 2,000 amas on Shabbos, that's a din derabanan. So in other words, be'etzem, when you're looking at the din of tchum, obviously it's a chumrah. Obviously. It prevents you from walking on Shabbos past 2,000 amas. But now that we're here, in this din derabanan, so now we are afforded kulas. We can employ leniencies. Swallowing the mountain, estimating... dropping a plumb line, everything that we discussed. If there are two opinions, listening to the longer opinion, listening to an Evan and a Shivcha, meaning there are many leniencies within the world of Tchum. The whole institution of Tchum, that's obviously a Chumrah. But within the institution of Tchum, so then we're afforded all these leniencies. Okay. Brings us now to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, beginning of a very important topic, the distinction between an Irshal Yachid and Irshal Rabin. Okay, let me give a couple points of introduction, and then we'll start the Mishnah inside. Okay, basically, here's the basic idea, and then we'll speak in more specific detail. Let's make an Erev around the entire city. I mean, that's basically what every Jewish community does. Okay? What we do is we create an entire city into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I don't mean the entire city. I mean, Boca is a huge city. I mean, the geographic area that Boca encompasses is massive. But in other words, but basically, one particular area of the city, what we end up doing is we end up making a Rosh Hashanah Yachid out of it by Tzeres HaPesach and by canals, and or in other words, however it's done, we get the job done, we make it into one large Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then we make an Erev, where every member of the community contributes bread, puts the bread in the basket, puts the basket in, nowadays, the shul, and so therefore we've created now an Erev for the entire city. What we're going to learn in the Mishnah basically is, don't do that. Which I know is funny because we do that, but the Mishnah says don't do that. Don't make one Erev for the entire city. Why not? What's the problem with that? Min HaTorah, there's no problem with that whatsoever. The problem with that is that if I make an Erev for the entire city, I'm basically going to walk away with the thinking that, I can carry on Shabbos. You know, what's the big deal? I live in Boca Raton. I can carry on Shabbos. And I live in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I can carry on Shabbos. I live in Yerushalayim. I can carry on Shabbos. Once you're basically looking at an entire city, creating one Erev for the entire city, so then you're going to result. The result is I'm going to carry on Shabbos. But it's even worse than that. In other words, that's not the end. That's not the end of it. Once I make one Erev for the entire city, so basically now, not only can I carry on Shabbos, I can carry on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Meaning, look, I mean, I don't want to get controversial. I won't get controversial, but Palmetto Park Road, right? That's a main street. That's basically a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And some would argue it is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but again, that's not my point. My point is that, you're right, if I can carry in the entire area, so what's the difference between carrying on in the city or carrying in a bona fide Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So once it's one era for the entire city, there is going to be no differentiation in our minds. What's the difference between carrying in the city versus carrying in the actual Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself? So therefore, once the city has achieved the status of an Irshal Rabbim, I cannot make one Erev for the entire city. I have to leave people out of the Erev. Okay? That's what's called Shiur. The idea of Shiur is that with as long as we exclude people from the Erev, so then I can make an Erev for the remainder of the city. I know it's, you know, it goes against the whole idea of unifying the Jewish people and Achdus and unity. I understand that. But in terms of Erev, we just don't want people with that sense of, I can carry in Boca, I can carry in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim as well. Good.
Do they have to be Jewish to be excluded, or
well,
without
that's a good question. I mean, the Mishnah is going to talk about it in terms of people. But the Mishnah doesn't identify whether they're Jew or non-Jew. I'm going to assume, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I'm going to assume that they're Jewish. That the Jews need to be excluded from the Erev. Meaning, people who would benefit from it have to be excluded. Okay, and I realize also, by the way, in other words, once you're excluding people, I mean, it never fails. You exclude anybody from anything, even if it's not something they wanted to be part of, you know, they're going to get offended. And I realize that, and it is interesting that the halacha basically demands that we exclude people from the Erev. It is strange. And by the way, nowadays, Bezmaninu, do we do that? As I mentioned in the beginning, no, we don't. Meaning, whenever you make an Erev for a community, so you try to include as many people as possible. So how come we don't do what the Mishnah here is about to tell us that we need to do, which is exclude people? So this is not me asking the question of the 21st century. Already for the past, you know, 300, 400, 500 years, Achron, we're trying to come up with some sort of conceivable justification of why it is we don't follow this Mishnah. Okay. So it is interesting, we're going to be learning a daf of Gemara today, which for the most part gets ignored. Okay. That's a general point. Now let's be a little bit more specific. When is it that you have to exclude people from the Eruv? That's when it's an Irshal Rabim. Irshal Rabim, what does that mean? A public city? So the Rambam writes that basically what the Mishnah means, Irshal Rabim, is basically all of our cities. Public just simply means there's no one single person owning the city, but rather, right, everybody owns their little piece of property. There's common area that's owned by the city, right, by the people. In other words, basically, what you and I know to be a city. That's the Rambam's definition of an Irshal Rabim. Rashi gives a very interesting definition, and Rashi, in this particular regard, is very alone in his definition of what Irshal Rabim means. Rashi says, a city where 600,000 people are using the street. Now, Rashi over here, I mean, Rashi writes it. Rashi over here is very consistent with his definition of what a Rishus HaRabim is. Right? What does Rashi say in terms of what the definition of Rishus HaRabim is? A street that's 16 amas wide goes through the city and, says Rashi, not here, but earlier, and there's 600,000 people on the street. So in other words, Rashi says that's a Rishus HaRabim. So when we're talking about an Irshal Rabim, it does not mean, according to Rashi, that the city itself is a Rishus Rabim, because if it were, you can't make an Eruv. It just simply means it's awfully close. There are 600,000 people traversing the street of our city. The street is not 16 amas wide, but we're so close to being a Rishus Rabim, that's, as Rashi, is why it's called an Irshal Rabim, a city of Rabim, not to be confused with a Rishus Rabim. Okay. Fine, that's basic machlokes between the Rishonim, what exactly an Irshal Rabim is. In the meantime, however, let's start the Mishnah, Irshal Yachid. If, let's say, it's an Irshal Yachid, a private city, now it's Irshal Rabim, but it becomes a public city, Marvin is Kula, so that you can make an error for the entire city. Meaning, fundamentally, this city is a private city, so therefore, you can make an error for the entire city. Vishal Rabim, Vinas Irshal Yachid. But, if it's an Irshal Rabim, a public city, even though it becomes a private city in Ma'arvin Eskula, still, it's fundamentally an Irshal Rabim, and therefore, we can't make an Eruv for everybody. Not everyone can be included in one Eruv. Elim kein asa chutzala ki ir chadasha shab Yehuda, sheish ba chamishim dir of divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, you know what you have to exclude? 50 residents. 50 residents of this town need to be excluded from the Eruv. Then and only then, the remaining Eruv is going to be good. If I don't have 50 people excluded, the Eruv is not going to be a good Eruv. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gimel Chatzer Shal Shnei Batim. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says it has to be the exclusion, three courtyards, each courtyard making up at least two houses. Okay? That's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah brings down a machlokus regarding how many needs to be excluded from the Irshal Rabim. But what's agreed to in our Mishnah unequivocally is that when I have an Irshal Rabim, even if it's converted to an Irshal Yachid, there has to be an exclusion. People have to be left out for the Eruv for the reason which I explained back in the beginning of the Mishnah, because if we don't exclude, then people are going to get so confused. If I'm carrying in my city, why can't I then just carry in an Irshal Rabim? Now, those people are excluded, by the way. You know that if they want to, they can make their own Eruv. Right. Yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, the city is basically what it fundamentally started out to be. The Gemara just simply wants to know, what's the case of that? What's an example of that? So I'm Rav Yehuda Kagon, discarded the Resh Galusa. The city of the Resh Galusa, the city is a private city, owned by the Resh Galusa, but then a lot of people start descending on the city, on the Resh Galusa city. So Amalei Rav Nachmai Tami Lemi Mishem Dishchicha Gabei Harmana. So the Gemara says, why do you use that as an example? Is it because people are going over there seeking some sort of permission authorization, meaning you go to the Reish Galusa, I mentioned this a number of times, the Reish Galusa is a political position. People walk over to the Reish Galusa in order to basically get some sort of authorization so that, that now they can go out to the members of the city, collect taxes. Okay, in other words, but essentially, put it very simple. A lot of people go over to the town of the Reish Galusa. So the Gemara says, so what? So you know what happens on any given Shabbos? Jews congregate. and they get together, hear shir, go to shul. So in other words, that's not a good example of an Yir Shal Yachid that becomes Rabbim. Elam Rab Nachman Kagon Diskarta Dinituzai. So the Gemara gives another example, which quite frankly for us, it's not going to help. It's a particular person who had a city, and then it became overly populated. Okay, the Gemara is just trying to come up with some sort of example. Tanu Rabbanan. We're towards the bottom now of the Testament Aleph, and we start with a Braisa. Ir shel Yachav v'nasa shel Rabbim, v'rishus Rabbim, v'eres b'socha, kitzad mar v'nosa. I have an Ir shel Yachid. I have, it becomes a shel Rabbim, so it's a private city, it becomes a public city. Again, let me just review. According to Rashi, it's a numbers issue. Ir shel Yachid simply means there are less than 600,000 people in the city. Ir shel Rabbim means that now there are over 600,000 people in the city. According to Rashi, that's the difference between Ir shel Yachid and Ir shel Rabbim. According to the Rambam, no. Ir shel Yachid means it's owned by an individual. Ir shel Rabbim means it's owned by more than one person. Okay, either way. In the Braisa, the case is that there's a Rishus Rabbim actually running through the center of town. So how do you make an Erev? Now, if you remember back to the very beginning of the Masechta, the question itself is outlandish. Meaning, how do you make an Erev? You can't make an Erev. If there's a bona fide Rishus Rabbim running through the center of the city, you can't make an Erev. So immediately, all of everything we learned up until now should raise a red flag and say, what in the world is the Braisa talking about? How can you even entertain a discussion of making an Eruv if there's a bona fide Rishus Rabbim running through the center of town? Stay tuned, put that question on the back burner. That's an important question. So put a lechi on one side of the Rishus Rabbim, put a lechi on the other side, or a kora, remember back at the beginning of the Masechta, a beam going over the top and a beam going over the top. And then you can carry in between the two. Ein ma'arvin osa l'chatzayin. You can't break it up into two. Ela okula o mavui mavui bifnei atzma. Either the entirety of the city, or each mavui will make its own eruv, but I can't split the city in half, making two separate eruvin, for reasons that we're going to explain later on. Haiso shel Rabbim v'harei he shel Rabbim. The if the city was a public city, ve'ein la ela pesach echad, and there's only one entrance to the city, ma'arvin is kula. So then you can make an eruv for the entire city. Period. Okay, that is the end of the Braisa. Now there are many issues with the Braisa, but the first issue we're going to take up with the Braisa is the first point the Braisa made, which is obviously one of the most difficult points. I have a Rishus Rabbim running through the street, so what did the Braisa say? Just throw up a lechi on one side, throw up a lechi on the other side, Shalma Yisrael, now you can carry in between. Who can do that? So Mantan de Ma'arvi Rishus Rabbim, who allows you to make an error for a Rishus Rabbim? I'm Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara notes, and we made this point already before, the author of this Braisa has to be Rav Yehuda. How do I know that? Detail, because we learned on a Braisa. Yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda, Mishay Shlosh Shnei Batim, Mishnei Tzidim, Rishos Rabbim. If I have houses running alongside two sides of the Rishos Rabbim. So you know what those houses are? Those houses are called walls. Meaning, obviously, we're talking about houses one next to another, next to another. Basically, they are contiguous houses. And so now, as I'm looking at the street, basically it's a street walled on two sides. Now, if I have a structure where there are walls on two sides, is that a Rishus Yachid? The normative answer would be no. That's not a Rishus Yachid. However, There is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not accepted lahalacha, but the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is two walls makes a rishus hayachid. So the author of this braisa is dealing with a case where I have houses on each side, and B subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that that now is considered a rishus hayachid. So alechi is just simply to tell everybody where it ends. The alechi does nothing in terms of giving anything status. It gives nothing status. It's just as a hecker to tell everybody, here's where it ends. Oh, so alechi mikam, alechi mikam, akar mikam, akar mikam, venosa, venosa, memsa, amru lo. Now the response they said to Rabbi Yehuda is, what are you doing? Ein ma'arvin rishus harabim bekach. You can't do that. It is a rishus harabim. You can't make an error for a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, Adkan. Good. Let's just quickly review. Time is up. Let's quickly review, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point. We covered a lot of ground today. Okay, today we finished up the discussion of the process of measuring. In the process of measuring, we basically talked about many leniencies in terms of how we can measure. Big mavlio, swallowing up, making left-hand turns, followed by two rights. Approximation. Koder, boring a hole through the mountain, not literally, but basically holding a rope feet to chest, as you're going up the mountain, dropping a plumb line. Wow. There were a lot of methodologies in terms of measuring, but being lenient in terms of the measurement. That took us to the end of Daf Nun Chesam and Beis. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Chesam and Beis talks about being maker when it comes to Erev Tchomim. Let's say there are two opinions, go with the more lenient position. Let's say an Eved HaShifcha telling us where Tchum ends, listen to them. Even though, generally speaking, we don't. In the world of Tchum de Rabbanim, we are allowed to. Okay. And then we started the Mishnah, Nun Tes Amud Aleph, dealing with the Irshol Yachid versus the Irshol Rabbin. Again, basic machlokes amongst the Rishonim, what the Mishnah even means. According to Rashi, it's just a question of population. Population under 600,000, Irshol Yachid. Population over 600,000, Irshol Rabbin. Once, according to the Rambam and most other Rishonim, no. Irshol Yachid means it's owned by one person. Irshol Rabbin, a regular city like you and I know. The difference being, Irshol Rabbin, I cannot make one error for the entirety of the city, but people have to be excluded. How many people need to be excluded by the Irshol Rabbin? Machlokis Tanayim between Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says 50 residents. Rabbi Shimon says 3 chatzeros, each one made up of 2 houses. Why don't we do that nowadays? Again, that's an old question, and I'm not sure if I have great answers, but the question is raised. Then a discussion in the Gemara, what's an example, and then we went on to quote a braisa on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So far, we've only dealt with the first issue of the braisa. The braisa opened up with a scenario where I have an actual Rishus HaRabim running through the city, make an Eruv. How can you do that? Answer, the author of the braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, where once you have two walls, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim, it's actually Rishus HaYachid, and the Lechi encourages simply to highlight and indicate where you can walk to. Okay? Adkan, that's...
You can't include a Rishus
HaRabim
in the
Eruv. No, once you have a bona fide Rishus HaRabim, you're done. You can't make an Eruv around that Rishus HaRabim.
And the only one we treat as a Rishus HaRabim is 95, or is the...
Turnpike is a Rishus HaRabim. 95 is a Rishus HaRabim. So, and when we created the Eruv, and we go over the turnpike, so the truth of the matter is that we don't... The bridge that goes over is what allows us to cross, but not the turnpike itself is not included in the Eruv. Okay, we just went on a little bit of a tour of the Eruv. I know a little bit more about the Eruv here in our community. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Continue Rufu Shlema for Binyamin Zavakon, Mishra Rana Rivka, for Rafael Zak Avram and Yakir Avigail. Eloi Nishmas Harav Yaakov ben Yosef. Rabbi Chana ben Kasha Marav Tzakash Baruch Hu. Zakh Yisrof Tichachir Bem Torah Mitzvah Shana Ma'anai Chafetim Ha'an Kito. Yagdil Torah V'yadir.